All right, so here we are, another episode of If You Have Questions, We Have Answers, a live channeling with Terry Brown and Wynn Free in Sedona, located, which will be broadcast on the internet through BBS and simulcast with a conference call. This is the Pi Day, 314, March 14, 2018, yes. Thank you all for being here. And if you do have a question that you want to submit per email, you can do that at questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda in Boulder Creek, California.
Welcome, Dharmananda. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Hi, did you say it was Pi Day?
Yes.
What's Pi Day?
314 is Pi Day.
Is that the circumference number, or?
Yes, and at the same time, you need to buy a pie and eat it.
Oh.
If you want. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Oh, hello, Heiss. This is Kathleen in New
Mexico. Hi, Kathleen. Welcome.
Thank you.
And another person joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Cecil, a C6C Serpent from Sun Sandy, Seattle.
All right, Cecil. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
I've been trying to get on, and I kept saying the access code is wrong.
Oh, but you got here, fortunately.
Yeah, first try.
All right. And another person joining, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
It is my pleasure, Jane.
God, I knew it.
We'd be in big trouble if you weren't here.
That's right.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening. Welcome.
Hey, hi. Thanks, man.
Hi, Chris.
And the next person to join in, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heiss. It's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
It is my pleasure. And this Sunday, I'm going to play four songs in a row after the call. And
okay.
That will be like a meditation kind of style. It will be a healing, focused on healing and... Just let it resonate. If you listen in, let it resonate with your heart and listen to the words. There's also a long instrumental. These are four long songs.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, Kathleen.
Yes, I'm here. I was on mute.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I did.
Because it's kind of funny how you talked about that, and it came together this week. I had a rain day. When was it? Yesterday. And then me and I got to ran into those songs, and then I think, hey, this is exactly the correlation that Kathleen was saying.
About the frequencies?
Yeah, well, no, about...
Oh, okay.
About doing eventually seminars and approaching music.
right, yeah, okay. I don't always remember what I say, so...
No. Good evening, welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, hi, from Sedona.
Hello, Raiden. Positive greetings to you, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. I appreciate you being here as well. And another person joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Helen in Virginia.
Hello, Helen. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thanks for being there.
My pleasure. And another person joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome to the call. and another person joining. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Don in Ohio.
Northern Welcome Ohio. To the call, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
This is Terry from Dallas.
And hello, Terry. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
You're welcome. All right. And I welcome all those folks that are listening in online through BBS. Thank you for being here. With this. So anyone listening in, and if you do have a question for tonight's episode, if you have answers, you can submit your question per email. Email address, which is question@intelligent-infinity.com. Another person joined in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Thank
Hi, Terry.
Being here.
Hi. Hello.
And two more people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. Welcome.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi.
Hi, Wynn.
Did I hear Robin in there? Was that Robin?
That means
no. I don't know about Robin, but it was Cecil.
Oh, Cecil. Hi, Cecil.
Hi, Wynn.
I want to say the email address one more time, questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And another person joined in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location. But only if you want to. We welcome you.
Am I clear?
You are clear.
Okay, good. Well, let's get started.
All right, I will mute the phone lines. We are live on BBS.
The Rockham Motors
folks listening in on BBS.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is March 14th, 2018. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this is our question asking call, where we talk to our sources and people submit questions. And let me see here. We don't have many questions tonight, which is fine with me. Are you there, Terry? Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you unmuted?
Yeah.
Okay. I think, you know, there were a lot of questions that people had about Maldek. And maybe I'll
When I submitted a question, and I called you before this call, so you know I have a question.
I said we don't have many questions tonight, okay?
I thought you said we don't have any. Sorry.
No. Okay. I have your question. Okay. So, let's see. You know what? I don't think you guys should just make up questions just to make them up. You know, the best questions are the ones which are confrontive to yourself, where the answer will help you push through some kind of obstacle, okay? So either I can assume that no one has that kind of question tonight, or they don't want to ask it publicly, which is sometimes the case, okay? So I have Kathleen's question. And let me just make sure here.
All callers are unmuted.
Hey, I'm just curious. I just want to get a feeling for this. How many of you have questions, but you would rather not ask them publicly?
I have a question, but I don't have access to my computer right now.
You don't. That's Cecil, right?
That's Cecil, and I'm traveling.
Okay. You want me to take your question?
If you'd like to.
Okay.
The question I have is, you've talked about when Christ was on the earth, and he prayed to his Father, and you said that the Elohim, not the Elohim, but the Rod group was the one that answered. And I am wondering, my question is, for instance, when God the Father and Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph Smith, who was the father? There, that obviously was a reincarnated, or not a reincarnated, but a personage that showed up the same as Christ. But obviously, it wasn't the Ra group; it was a single person. So my question is, who was that?
Why do you think it was a single person?
Well, it showed as a single person. Jesus Christ and God the Father showed themselves to Joseph Smith in the grove, and they both appeared as a solid person.
Mm-hmm. They appeared in the grove, and they both appeared as a solid person. You could see them. See them, right?
Yes.
You know what? I would rather speculate on that answer rather than ask our sources, because sometimes the answer is in controversy to the doctrine set up by the church. And
by other churches.
Oh, you're even the Mormon church, you know, any church.
Okay.
You know,
churches
set up, how can we say it, mythologies. And even Joseph Smith may have set up a mythology, okay? So, you know, as I get it, I'm not sure about the Moroni story and who Moroni was. That's part of, you know, the in the Mormons, Joseph Smith supposedly had an angel lead him somewhere.
Moroni,
yeah.
Yes.
I got to be Italian, great.
Right.
Moroni, he said, dig up these gold tablets. And Joseph did it and brought them back and then was translating them. And these gold tablets became the Book of Mormon. And then Joseph told everybody he had these gold tablets, and he had them covered with a blanket of some sort. And so
he had them hidden in a lot of different places because people were out there.
Yeah. And then he said if anyone looked at them, they would die. True?
No, that's not true. Everybody wanted them because they were made of gold, and of course, most people didn't even believe that he had them, so they wanted to get hold of them.
Mm-hmm. But in any case, I'm not sure any of that story is true, okay?
Okay.
I think there was a Moroni, and I'm not sure if, you know, many times in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, what was referred to as angels, and even God, were probably ETs. You know, there were spaceships, and sure, they could send down clouds of smoke or fire or beams, you know? I mean, famous story of Jezebel and the priests of Yahweh and the priests of Baal, right? You know that story?
Yes.
And
I've been on top of that mountain.
There's a top, really? You were physically on top of it?
Right? Yes. I worked over there for five weeks for the Navy.
So the way the story goes is, what was the city of the guys from Baal? It was Ahab and Jezebel, and I forget their city, but they were of one city, and they were worshippers of Baal, and Baal was considered negative. They were doing all kinds of pagan ceremonies, okay? You know, and the Yahweh was considered positive, right?
Right.
And Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was representing Yahweh, okay?
You bet.
Now, when we ask, you know, there were a lot of indications. I'm trying to remember if I asked this in the channeling. But there were a lot of indications that Yahweh was an Anunnaki. And many times, gods of the Old Testament were Anunnaki. And the question I asked to our sources, you see, here I am taking apart religious dogma or doctrines. When I asked my sources about Anunnaki, who supposedly lived very long lifetimes, they answered that the Anunnaki were advanced enough to clone themselves. And when they would clone themselves, they could move their consciousness into their clone body, and it gave the illusion of immortality, which qualified them to be seen as gods, because they kept moving, staying in a young body, having the same appearance, which was a clone. And so, you know, the whole thing is all a big mess. But when you try to give up your power to a god form, well, if you take our sources, never ever do they even tempt you to give up your power. And from their point of view, every person is on an evolutionary path with their soul in their body, and they're here to learn things. And that if you decide to surrender to service, that's good, okay? If you can't, totally. I don't think people can, totally. Except maybe St. Teresa and Terry. But other than that, people are dealing with things they're supposed to learn while they're in their body. And if they don't get learn them, they'll keep coming back to learn them. And And there's exceptions to this, okay? There's exceptions. But even, you know, Michael Tellinger took apart the Old Testament and took all, you know, many of the things that God said. And I did a talk on this one time. Did you hear that talk?
I'm not sure.
No, it's very interesting because he just had a whole chapter in his book, Slave Species of the Gods. And he took apart the Old Testament and took all these statements made by God that were essentially terrible. I don't have them in front of me now, but things like, sacrificing to prove your love for God, even sacrificing your children. Somebody does something wrong, kill them or punish them. Or it was a very, very stringent bunch of things. Now, if you go into the Old Testament, one of the things that seems to be out of that loop was Psalms. Now, I have a feeling that Ra was, I don't know this, I'm just speculating, Ra was paying attention, and when somebody could connect with Ra, they'd come up with things like, to everything there is a season, time for every purpose under the, a time to be born, a time to die. That to me sounds like Ra, okay? And it's loving, and it's philosophical, and it's deep, okay? So, when you try to assign God and use it as an excuse to give up your own power and your own learning, you may be making a mistake. You may not, because that model might work for you, and it might be a model that you can learn from. But if you think of somebody that has children and they want to be successful parents, I don't think they want their children to be sovereign if they're really good parents. They want their children to grow and to be functional and to be happy. And then they hope their children are going to come back to them and share that as they get older. And but they can't force it. And if they've really been loving parents, their children will stay engaged for their entire lives. But they don't want to control their children. They don't want to be the CEO of their children and say, you better do this, and you better do that, or you're going to be punished. It doesn't work, actually. It usually makes children run away, okay, when they have parents like that. And the thing about God is, God, if we take our model of creation, which is the Elohim, the one infinite creator, and the Elohim, and then the Ra group, then where is the classical model for God? It is not there, okay? Now, those group souls will answer the call to God. They may even, out of the need and demand in this realm, present themselves as God, okay? And so exactly what happened in the Mormons, I can't say quite for sure, but I am sure the Elohim were very much connected with the Mormons. And if you heard that story, which you probably did, where when I was in the first 6 months, when all of this stuff was going on with me, I asked in the channeling, and remember, I don't know up from down now. This was like early on. I'm trying to figure it out. It was like somewhat of a fantasy. It's like, how do I know they are who they say they are? And all that time, Daphne was having panic attacks. And I'm thinking, well, if they are who they say they are, why is Daphne having panic attacks? Why aren't they protecting her? And, you know, as I came to learn about Carla Rucker, she was having attacks. They weren't necessarily panic attacks, but they were very severe attacks. And if she's talking to these high sources, why aren't they protecting her? Those are my questions, and I'm trying to learn it, right? But I did ask the question in the first 6 months. I said, and Daphne is going to leave me. It was too much for her. And I asked them, can't you recommend someone who's going to find this important? And you know that story, Cecil?
You bet.
Yeah. And they sent me to a Mormon church in Mesa, Arizona. But I didn't go with Daphne. I went with Terry. And that I spoke to, they actually told me to go to a church, my street name, to go to the church on Grand Avenue. Now, I went to Mesa. I had no idea what I was going to find with Terry. We stayed in a Motel 6. We went out to eat. And I said, what is Mesa known for? And they said, Mormons. Now, I already knew Elohim was the word the Mormons used for God. So we immediately went back to the motel, and I said, we did a channeling. I said, you don't mean for me to introduce myself to the Mormons, do you? And they said, not the entire church. And I said, well, how am I going to find who I'm supposed to talk to? I'm here for one day. And they said, go to the church on Grand Avenue. Then I went and talked to the bishop, and he was very receptive, and I was surprised at how receptive he was. And then he said, would you tell your story to some of my church members? So he drew a map, which I still have, and went to somebody's house, and I brought Terry with me this time, because I figured they weren't going to throw me out. And I'm telling my story. In the middle of it, Terry interrupted and said, they want to say something. Is that okay? And I said, okay. So Terry looked at everyone in the room, and she said, they want you to know they're hearing your prayers. And people started to cry. And that was the very first moment that I said to myself, geez, I think they are who they say they are. But I'm still learning. But when we left Mesa, I asked questions about the Mormons. And they said they were the same Elohim that was connecting to Joseph Smith. And this was very interesting, that part of their reason for starting the Mormon religion was that there were a number of Elohim souls that were willing to come into this realm to help lift the vibration of the planet. And when Elohim souls would come into this realm and take bodies, they forget everything just like everyone else. So they wanted to create a religion to remind the Elohim souls that were coming in that they were here to be of service. Now, they didn't tell them they were Elohim souls, but that, although the Mormon religion is the only religion that has in its cosmology that when you leave this realm, you'll go back to creating stars and planets, I believe. Am I right, Cecil?
Well, they don't really believe that anymore. They might have at one time.
Well, they did say that. It was part of the original thing. But that would be an indication that they were Elohim souls, okay? And, you know, when they said that, I thought about it for quite some time. And because I know Mormons, all right? And I said, well, you know, there are qualities about Mormons that are unique. One is, on a whole, they tend to be attractive people, i.e., they're new souls in the realm and their DNA is not screwed up. Number one. Number two, on the whole, they tend to be very industrious. They're capable of starting businesses. They're capable of being very focused. And I'm talking about not people who are converts into Mormons, but people who are in the lineage, okay? And number three, they take care of each other better than any other religion I know of. I have a friend that's a Mormon, and when she was going through trouble, they actually paid her rent for quite a few months. And but number four was the clincher. They have all those qualities, but you very rarely, if ever, see a Mormon with street smarts, with the wisdom of this realm. Because if they're Elohim souls, they're new in this realm. And although the Elohim, because we talk to them all the time, have vicarious wisdom, because they've been watching everything for since the beginning of everything, they don't have the experience of being trapped. And once they're in this realm, they don't know how to function. Street smarts is the best word to use, with street smarts. But they're radiant. They're beautifully radiant beings. And that doesn't mean they're always politically correct or this or that. But, you know, I always say, when I reference this, you can look at Donnie and Marie Osmond as examples of Elohim souls, particularly when they were younger. And you can look at Leonard Cohen as an example of a raw soul. I would be predominantly a raw soul, I would suspect. And so, you know, when they go to start a religion, they might have to play the game of the religion to get it going, you know, and make it look like how people expect it to be, which might have been part of the origination of the Mormons. And but that's just my take on it. And does that make any sense?
Yeah, but it doesn't answer my question. And what I'm assuming is that maybe an Elohim soul made himself took on a light body to where they could be seen, and appeared in that way.
Okay.
I just wanted to, you know, get it from the sources if it was possible, because that's a question I've had for a long time.
So Joseph Smith saw Jesus and the Father embodied, correct?
Yes. I understand Jesus Christ. There's no problem there, but I just am still a little confused as to who claimed to be God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course, we also have to assume that Joseph was telling the truth. Okay?
Okay.
Because you know what? He may have been talking to the Elohim. All right? I'm pretty sure he was. And, you know, whatever I have to say is just over the hill controversial. Because I think someone around him was channeling. Or he was channeling. And at some point, if he believed the channeling was real and authentic, he may have said, I got to get this out to the world. And he may have made up stories that helped to get it out into the world that were not completely true. Okay? But the connection with the Elohim was probably true, however that connection was. Okay? Okay, so we'll ask some kind of question. All right?
Thank you.
And see what we can find out and if they want to answer it. All right?
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. And let me see here. Okay, now people are sending in questions. I mean, I think that when you actually look at how religions look after they've been around for a while, on some level, they have made, what's the word, okay? They've made mythologies about how everything happened. And, I mean, whenever I have looked at this, and all this stuff has come to me, I've kind of penetrated the mythologies, like Terry Friedman. I mean, why did I get Terry Friedman? You know, I didn't look for him. It, like, popped me on the nose, and suddenly he's explaining what it was like to be with Jesus, and he was not exactly biblical, okay? He said a lot of things that were surprising, you know? And he didn't even know all of our work on Elohim and Ra, and he never showed a lot of interest in it. But I kept bringing him on here because he carried the energy of the Christ consciousness, okay? And I was learning from it because I could feel the energy. Many of you can feel that energy on this line. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish between the Christ consciousness and the Elohim energies. But I can feel the difference. And when I asked the question to Terry, I got that the Ra group was holding a matrix in the higher realm, which was the Christ consciousness. And then, if you've been attending Whole Planet Healing, and this is just a recent kind of epiphany here, Jim started reading channelings from the Holy Spirit, okay? And, well, what is that? Where is that coming from? They have 400 channelings from the Holy Spirit, which I would assume. Now, Jim, I don't make Jim believe my cosmologies. So this is just for me. But why is the same person the channel is the Ra group channeling the Holy Spirit? Don't we think that's a small world? I do. But it fits very well with my model of everything, okay? Which is the Ra group created the Holy Spirit, created the energy of the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean to create that? It meant they probably linked their energies up as part of a subgroup of them and held the space that people could access through Jesus. Now, in truth, it does not take anything away from Jesus. It might, if somebody's a traditional Christian, but people who are traditional Christians can tap into this energy. I know it. I mean, oftentimes I meet people who are traditional Christians, who are good Christians. I don't mean people who are just fundamentalists, but people who have accessed what I would call Christ's love. And we immediately vibe with each other. And I'm not going to tell them about any of my stuff, but they feel the energy through me that we're talking about. So that has been a very consistent experience. And even the same with Mormons, you know, I connect with Mormons and I don't have to tell them anything. There's just an inner rapport. I would assume the Christ consciousness was working with the Mormons as well, okay? So that's all I want to talk about on that stuff. And some people have been sending in some questions. Let's see what I got here. We got here. Right, and I don't know if I want to ask about Yahweh. Yahweh was mixed, okay? And Don, I might ask your question. I hope you figure it all out one day, Don. You know, you get answers to questions. Believe me, when it comes to questions, I have gotten more questions answered than thousands of questions answered. And, you know, I get to the point is, what else do I need to know? How do I manifest here, okay? And the key is how do you take your circumstances? Because we all have our individual circumstances. And how do you work through the circumstances you're given? I might ask you this. How do you work through the deck that's handed to you? To you and move to the place manifest spirit? I think that's everybody's question, okay? We all have a deck that's been handed to us. And Terry, are you ready?
Yes.
Let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light with the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you. And we take a moment to fully come into your sphere and into Terry's sphere. It feels good to be able to connect with each and every person here. We come directly, we do not come through the telephone line or through the computer. And it is our delight to make contact with you in the realms directly, in the earth realm, in the physical universe. It is very rare that we are able to accomplish such a contact. If we ever see anything that doesn't make sense or doesn't seem to relate or resonate with you, disregard it. Do you have questions?
Yeah, I am going to ask my question first here. Oh my God, it's 6:47. I've been talking a while. How do you work through the deck that's handed to you and move to the place where you can get a new deck or where you can manifest in a way that you would prefer to, rather than be stuck in the reflections of all the deck that you're working with?
Thank you. You have chosen your deck. You have chosen the individual things. You have chosen what you pay money for. You have chosen your lifestyle. And so you can also unchoose it if it does not suit you. Probably the best way to do that would be to go by priorities and see which is most important. And if you want to trade something in your deck and get something else and dismiss something in your deck, you can do it gradually or you could do it right away. You are in control, although after being with your deck for quite a while, it seems like the deck is in control of you. Thank you.
One of the things is that when you have a deck, you oftentimes end up with responsibilities and people depending on you. And if you try to change the deck, you create hurt and guilt. So how do you go around that?
If you make the space, first make a space, and then put something of value that you wish in your deck in that space, and eventually the rest of your deck will conform to that space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So you do it by revisioning yourself, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay? And then as you hold the vision, you'll create the vision, okay?
Yes.
Now, Cecil asked about Joseph Smith, and the question was, were there manifestations in bodies that represented Jesus and the Father, which Joseph Smith saw?
There are the manifestations that occurred of Jesus within the realm back in the time of Jesus. And Joseph Smith was able to tune in to the spirit, the Jesus Christ entity. He was able to tune in and in reverie to bring in Jesus and to be able to convey it to his parishioners.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an actual physical body that he was seeing. He was seeing a vision, perhaps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus could appear to Joseph Smith, but it would be in vision form, and he could work with Joseph Smith in a very lucid manner.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, a question from Kathleen Welch in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Her first question is, on my recommendation, she got what's called a violet ray machine, which Terry had used that at one point and had that little sparking glass tube on the end of it. And she is working on a problem with her vision and a cataract, which there was indication that that might work for. And she asks, from your perspective, can you see that as a possibility of working for that issue?
There's a possibility in holding the vision. However, it is not the entire story. Cataracts are formed when there is a deficiency in the body, and the light from the sun reacts with the gelatin mass in the eye and begins to precipitate calcium. So we recommend doing some studies of what will be able to dissolve cataracts. We do not think that the entire answer is a violet ray tube, although it may help precipitate the disintegration of the cataract. We see that there is some other nutrients that are needed to help dissolve cataracts.
Can you give her any idea of the nutrients?
The blood needs to be purged of the heavy dosage of calcium that is ready to be precipitated in the body. It is not only in the eyes as cataracts, but it can be in the arteries to precipitate calcium out. The blood needs to have less, for lack of a better word, overdose of calcium, looking for a place to land.
Thank you. Okay, she has a second question. Kathleen, ask your second question next week, and I'll bring it up, okay? And it's 6:57, and BBS wants their line back. Do you have any closing comments for us?
Our love goes out to you as it is a connection with each and every one of you that is so important and sacred and fulfilling. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, everyone who's here, for being here. And we are going to move over to Whole Planet Healing. And hi, do you have the phone number right on hand for Whole Planet Healing?
Yes, the phone number is 712-770-4340. And the access code is 250-513. 712-770-4340. 250-513, or go to wholeplanethealing.com.